Many of you adults met Brother DeLong in the Sunday School Hour. Several of you have heard him preach before, and some haven't. I'm thrilled that he's here. I've looked forward to this meeting because I know the kind of man he is. He's just a solid, solid guy. But he enjoys life. He's not one of these guys who goes around with a dark cloud over his head all the time. You know, the world's falling apart. Well, it is. But hey, we can still have a good time while it falls apart, right? And so he's now we're going to go with. I'm going to get him in the pulpit. Brother Long, you come, and we're glad you're here, brother. Preach to us this morning.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's good, isn't it? How many folks, Mrs. Angel, you doing okay? So I just want to make sure that you guys are all right. There's no problem. I mean, everybody's sitting with her. Not. He told me now I'll be sitting with my wife the rest of the week, but that's good. Now you're not a twin, are you? Okay. How many twins we got in here? I know they're twins. I'm a twin. There's twins in the nursery. Man, there's four sets of twins here. They call us Twin Baptist Missions Conference almost. Amen. So I was with her twin sister and her husband this week. So she's a lot, you both are pretty lively. But anyway, let's get in our Bibles today, the book of Mark chapter 2. We're glad you're here. And we want you to come to church tonight, of course, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. We want to be a blessing to you. And we want to make sure that this is a missions conference, and we're here to honor the Lord. And I want to make sure, is my mic on? Am I ready to go? You know, because this pulpit looks real tall up there, but it's not as tall when I get up here. It makes me feel at 5'7", I got a short man's complex. Okay, 5'6½", all right? And my twin brother is about the size of the preacher. And we looked somewhat alike, but we weren't identical. But he was the tall, and I was the short, bald-headed version of the thing. But praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Glad you're in church today?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen?
Amen.
So who's the guy going to Fort Benning? Amen. Now, have you got a church down there yet? Now, you see me after some time today. There's all kind of churches down there, good ones, bad ones, and we're going to get you to good one. All right? Okay, we'll make sure of that. So, you're going to be in the Army? Okay, you're not going to be in the Marines, are you? Okay. We got Navy guys in here? Hoorah! Got any jarheads in here? Oh, me. There is no jarhead? Where you at? Where you at? Oh, there, okay. Sitting in the back row so we can talk about him. No. So, I love him. Amen. Now, I appreciate the preacher remembering 9/11 today. And I get up about 4 o'clock every morning. And it's not because I'm spiritual. I just don't sleep. You know? I'm being honest. Some people get up because they, you know. But I was reading my Bible, and I opened up that window right where my hotel room is. And I had that open this morning because I saw that sun come up. And, boy, I tell you what, I'm glad I'm in America. Amen? And you need to stand for that flag, and you stand proud and true. If they'd let me on the football field, I'd stand up for that quarterback, too. You know, because I know what God's done for me and what God's done for America. And my dad and my uncles and my cousins all been in the military. And some of my best friends in the whole world have been in there and defended our country. So praise the Lord for that. So let's take a look at what God wants to speak to us about today. Marty, good to see you. Your wife looks young, but something's happened to you over the age, you know. Marty, he used to be in my bus route or something, didn't we? Yeah. The only good thing about Marty, he's a Ohio State fan living in Illinois, all right? And, amen? So any Ohio State boys in here? Good. Does Illinois still play football? I didn't know they did. with a coach named Lovey, I don't know how that's going to work, but let's get going here. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses. Now, we're going to, don't get excited or upset or nervous. The title of this message is called The Drama of the Gospel or Drama of Missions. It's one of the first indications in Scripture, and you study it, that Jesus lets us see how it works, okay? And what I want to do is when I stand over here, I won't get close to that, but this is where we're going to, there's 5 sets of actors in this drama, and you're going to be one of those actors, okay? Now, there's one part you can't play, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But the first, I got to get back to my thing. The first thing is, I want you to say this with me, helpless. All right, now, the first actor is the helpless one. This is an individual that can't do a thing about his condition, okay? Over here, the second set of actors, it would be right here at the pulpit, this is called the helpers. Say that with me. These are folks that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. These are people that know the Lord, and they want to do something for God. Now, over here is the third set of characters are the hinderers. Would you say that with me? Not hinderers, but hinderers. These are the ones that look religious, but they have no idea what's going on. Okay? So we got the helpless, the helpers, the hinderers. Then here we have the healer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I got to stand here. These things buzzy, man. And you cannot be his part. He's got that already sealed up. Amen? Then over here, the last set of actors is the happy. Happy because they got to see God do what God wants to do. All right? So we got the helpless, the helpers, the hinderers, the healer, and the happy. Look at verse 1 with me of chapter 2, book of Mark. And again, he, Christ, entered to Capernaum. And after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he, that's watch this, he, that's Christ, the Word, preached the Word unto them. What a thought, amen? And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of Thor. When they had come, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, I'm glad they broke the roof up. It wasn't just a tent flap, okay? They took her apart. They let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I want to stop right there and let you know that they did not bring that boy to get him healed. They brought him there to get him saved. All right, I want you to catch that now. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Now, stop right there for a moment. The Lord knows what you're thinking right now.
That's right.
He's already at tomorrow.
Yes.
He's, as we say in Australia, he's already got you sussed out. He knows if you're saved or not. You know that, and He knows that. Amen.
Right.
He knows if you're walking with Him or you got those sins that so easily beset you, setting you by the wayside, all right, and floundering in where you're at. He knows everything. He knows the bones and the marrow. He knows the thoughts and the intents. Look at verse 9. Whether it's easier to say unto the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, and that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Pretty happy in verse 12, huh? Let's take a look at this today and try to apply it to our lives when it comes to counting the cost of service. I saw a bus route coming in today. Your bus coming in, preacher. Saw that. And last night I went home from the meeting here and I come dressed to preach last night, didn't I? You know. And I come in and how many know that you're a Christian and you know Christ your personal Savior?
Amen.
And you forgot where you're at? And I walked in the hotel last night, you know, and I'm walking in, and the lady comes up and says, well, where are you preaching tomorrow? I said, how do you know I'm a preacher? Well, look what you're carrying. It's a Bible.
Yeah.
She goes, you're preaching over at Faith Baptist? Yeah, yeah. You know Brother Terry Ansley? Yeah, he's my friend. She says, well, I would come there tomorrow, but I'm going to another church. Well, I said, well, hey, do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? She said, I sure do. Do you belong to that church? Yes, I run the nursery. Well, you're going to miss it today, but I'm glad you're going to church. Amen. You know, people don't take people long to read you.
That's right.
Don't take people long to see who you are and what you are. And I hope here at this church, and this is a missions church. It's been missions from day one. You can walk in the hallway, but I know Brother Angel, before he was a pastor, and not only had service, but he had missions in him. And you know, if you'll go back in your Bible, Mark chapter 2, and go back to Matthew, the Bible says in verse 18 of chapter 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and preach and teach at all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This is the Great Commission, right? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Hey, it's good to do what God wants us to do. Amen. So in this story here, how are you involved? What does the outreach of this church have? And how does it work? When does involvement and commitment, when does the investment take place? And I want, now, L-O-R-D, what does that spell? What's it spell over here?
Lord.
L means listen to God's Word. O means obey God's Word. R means respond to how God works on your heart. And D is this, do what God puts on your heart.
Yeah.
This is not rocket science, amen?
That's right.
L-O-R-D. I got that outline off of a 6th grade 12-year-old girl. Her name was Aqua there in Australia. Her brother's name was Beach. I mean, parents must have been crazy. But and the point is this. She said, Pastor Dan, the Lord. And she put that together for me one day in a 6th grade class. And I never forgot it. I want to put something together for you today. If you listen to God's Word and you obey God's Word and you respond to God's Word and you do what God puts in your heart, you cannot help but have an outreach for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that process, in listening and obeying and responding and doing, God, if you're not saved in here today and you listen to God's Word, He will save you from your sins. You may have come in here without the Lord Jesus Christ, but when you leave, you'll have Christ in your heart. And all those sins are washed away. Amen? Yes. If you saw the video first hour this morning, at that church where we did in Australia, God let us do, we did not have one church hopper. There was only one family was saved when we went there. Amen? And that might be a hard thing, but when you see people watch God's Word and you see the switches go on and the light goes on in their heart, you watch them take those baby infant steps, you're telling me Jesus can forgive me of all my sins? Yes, and He wants to use you in a great way. You watch those people grow, it does something inside here. Amen? As I begin to read the Bible in Mark chapter 2, I watched some four individuals here and I watched several things going on. And what I want to look at this morning, number one, is the helpless. Look at verse 3 with me. The Bible says in our text this morning, it says this, and they come unto Him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. I preached for a church in Philadelphia, Pinichetti. I don't know if you know Pinichetti. There's Italians and they're down in Fishtown. It's a rough area. And I was preaching there a couple years ago, and they support my ministry. And as I went to preach, I was going to preach this message, but a boy came in the preaching service in a wheelchair. And he had cerebral palsy. He could think straight, but he couldn't talk. He couldn't walk. He could not control his body's and parts and anything. And they had him strapped in. And the preacher said, Dominic Jr. said, Pastor Dan, I baptized him about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I said, I'm going to preach on this boy in palsy. I don't want to hurt his feelings. So I went back and he's sitting there and he said he can't speak, but he didn't tell me his computer could. So his mom was sitting there and I said, Mrs., listen, I want to preach on a message about the palsy. And I know your son has this disease and I don't want to embarrass him. I won't use it if I don't have to. And he said on the computer, go ahead, use it. He could move his hand like this. And while I was talking to her, he could hear. I didn't think he was paying attention and it came up on the screen. That's okay with me. That'll be good. Wow. Sound like that little lady on your cell phone. What's her name? Siri or whatever. And that was great. I thought he was helpless. And I began to study about this, think about this helpless thing. How many of you folks have met somebody helpless? I mean, absolutely helpless. And I thought I knew what helplessness was, but this boy's pretty good in Philadelphia. He can move his hand. Probably had like a $5,000 go-kart he was in. Probably a $5,000 or $6,000 computer. And he was in control of all of that. The most helpless person I ever met in my life was in a hospital in Michigan City, Indiana. I was bus calling, and you know Brother Steve Robertson from years ago, he was coming up to preach for me at a missions youth conference. And we went out on our bus route, and I had a bus route there, and I got a phone call, and they said, come to the hospital. It was one of my bus mothers said, my niece has had a baby. And it's not good. I don't know how long it's going to live. My niece was on crack of cocaine and her husband and they were doing this dope and stuff. And the baby's not right. They don't give it long to live. Can you come? So Brother Steve and I, we got off our bus route and we went over there. And a third floor, St. Anthony's Hospital, Michigan City, Indiana. And the old aunt caught me preacher before I went to the incubator and saw the family. She said, don't overreact when you see the child. Okay, I won't. I'm in the ministry. I'm the preacher. I know how to act, how to react. Amen. The wife was laying there, the mom was laying there in the bed, and she was just crying, you know, and I said, we'll be praying for you. Her husband's got his head in his hands, just staring at the floor, won't look up, and I went over to that incubator and where that baby was laying. I looked inside that incubator, and a little girl was laying there. No left ear, no left eye, just a hole, no mouth. I wasn't ready for this. As I was looking at her, Brother Steve started crying. You know, he's emotional. He just the tears. And I never forgot that scene. Nurse came in. And as the nurse came in, she said, Reverend, she only has about 5 or 6 hours. Her lungs are not developed. And I looked at that little girl. I talked to the mom and dad, prayed with them. That little girl died that night. I buried her 3 days later, February, Michigan City, Indiana, 13 below zero. That's how cold it was that day. I want to tell you something. That little girl, it was not her fault that she was born that way. What's the Bible say? Listen to me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Was that true?
Right.
Now you listen very carefully. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, therefore death is passable on all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that true? I think that's every one of us in here. Amen? But God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before God, I believe that little girl I buried 3 days later, I believe she's in heaven with the Lord. David tells us that. Amen. She was not of the age of accountability. But everybody sitting in front of me today, you are of the age of accountability. L-O-R-D. Listen. Obey. Respond. And do what God tells in your heart today. If you're in here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before God someday. And I want you to stand before Him saved. Amen. Isn't that a great thought? That little girl is not her fault. It was her mom's and dad's. It was their lifestyle. And there she was. And she'd never had a life. And boy, it's a sad thing when we look at that and go, oh, man, and she's going to die. And it's not her fault. Well, Adam and Eve kind of threw us under the bus, didn't they? But God knew that was going to happen. And He provided us a way. Jesus preaching in that house there in Capernaum, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man may come to the Father but by Me. That same Jesus has said, I did not come to condemn the world, but to seek and save that which was lost. If you're helpless today, and you're in that helpless category of this drama, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, can I say, this church, this pastor, all these people here that know Jesus, want you to trust Christ as your personal Savior today. Amen? And I'll tell you what, these boys came up, the second group here, and let's move quickly. The same group, these four boys brought their best friend to church. The Word's in there preaching the Word. They get out there on that street in Capernaum, and they can't get in before the crowd. It says the press. I mean, they just could not get to Him. So let's look at the helpers for a minute here. And we looked at this helpless person over here, this little boy. And I don't think he was very big, and I don't think he controlled anything. I think he was in that bed, and he was in that cot. And they brought him to Jesus to get him saved, not to get him healed. Now watch me on this. That was packed, preacher. So that I can just see them wringing their hands. Well, let's go back home. Too many people's in there. The wind's blowing too hard. We're just going to have to let this go like it is, and we'll bring it back some other day. No, 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 no. Jesus has changed those four young men's hearts. I don't know when He did it, but I know their hearts was changed. And I know every one of them was saved. And I'll show that to you in just a moment. Every one of them knew Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible says when they could not get in for the press of the crowd, let's take a look at the story in verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto Him, Jesus, for the press, the crowd, they uncovered the roof where He was, and they went there, broke it up, and they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. Hey, let's look at these helpers for a moment. These helpers, when they got the little boy to Christ, and they got there and they wanted him to hear Jesus, and they wanted him to get saved. And these helpers, the Lord has not given them their names, but can I bring them into the 21st century? You know, if I'm trying to get through that roof on top of that Palestinian house, how am I going to do it? There's a Lowe's in here, and a Home Depot. Yeah, okay. So can we use my imagination for just a moment? Now, I'll tell you what, the first thing I went down there, if I was one of those four boys, because I am not very good with anything. I can tear stuff up, right? Yep. I'd have bought a generator, put it on the charge card. I'd have bought a ladder, bought some rope, some duct tape to tape him in there in case I slip up. Huh? Got a mattock, maybe a tarp, maybe a tape measure to make the hole just a little bit bigger than the cot. I can see those boys putting that ladder up against that wall. I can see them going up there going to work. That little boy with the palsy laying there in the sun. Jesus has been preaching, you know. Then all of a sudden you see some ropes come over the top of that roof. And they've cut them in four parts and put one on each corner. And them boys pulling that boy up. Can you see him sliding up the side of the wall? Waving as he goes by the window. I didn't write this. I'm just delivering. I want you to listen. They were helping him. They would not be deterred. Would not be held back. And I'll tell you, it took some effort. It took some cooperation. I got about five sermons on this one thought. Out of this one chapter. I mean, they had to cooperate. They had to work together. These missionaries that you saw earlier, they can't get to where God wants them to be, where God's led them. But it has to be you. You have to help them get there. Amen? And I want to encourage you. This young boy was helpless. Can I say this? Bourbonnais, Illinois has helpless people in it. Bradley has helpless people in it. State of Illinois has all helpless people in it. Samaria, Judea, the othermost parts of the world, Mexico, Panama, Romania, and Hawaii. Everybody, over 7 billion people. 80% of them are on their way to hell. They're not bad people. They're just helpless. And God wants us helpers. His Word and us. Angels can't speak to Him, but we can. Isn't it great? Now, there's three types of people in this church. Those that watch it happen, those that have no idea what happened, and those that make it happen. Amen? And I love it. Them guys go on that top of that roof, and I can see the people listening to Jesus preach, you know, and I can see the roof coming apart, the sun's coming in, maybe a little dust fall down, they're being careful. And they set everything aside, they bring the boy up, and they start letting him down. Isn't that great? Man, that's great! Fantastic! And I can see him coming down, I think, feet first. He's kind of looking at Jesus. Jesus looking at him. They part a little bit, and his old bed hits the floor. And I see the ropes drop. I see the four heads coming through, the kind of looking like this. What's going to happen now? Amen? Bus captains, soul winners, get them to church. Kind of sit there. You're praying like a one-armed paper hanger. Oh, God, save them, save them, save them. Preacher, preach, preach, preach. Keep one eye open during the invitation when they move. Good night. You get this warm feeling in your heart. You didn't save them, but you brought them to church. Amen? Yes. How many's ever brought somebody to church and they did not get saved? But you found out years later, about 6 years after you took them to church for the first time, they finally got Jesus in their heart and they thanked you. Whoo! Do something to you. Amen? These helpers took the helpless to Jesus. And let me show you why Jesus saved that little boy. Look at verse 5 with me, please. Now get on to the next set. And when Jesus saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. Faith promised missions giving. That's what drives this church. Faith. See, Jesus did not save them because of their educational background. Jesus did not save them because the boy was sick. Jesus did not say, oh, they're so nice, four young men. Oh, they just love that young man. No, they love Jesus more than they love that young man. That's what moved them. Amen? I want to encourage you on that thought. As he came down and he got there, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, son, thy sins be forgiven you. Now, he may have witnessed to him there. And all the rest of those hearers, I didn't put them in the thing, but they're looking at this and watching it. And Jesus saves that young man. How many believe that? He didn't ask him if he wanted saved. He knew what was going on. He knows what those four boys, they brought him to get him saved. Jesus knows what's going on. And he saved that young man because he was a cripple. He saved that young man because he was palsy. Watch this. He saved that young man because of their faith. He knew what they had in their hearts, and they wanted that in their friend's heart. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Then we come to the third set of actors, the hinderers. Or how long will that last type of people? Uh-huh. How many's ever read Gulliver's Travels? Gulliver will never make it, right? Wonder how long they'll stay saved. Do you realize how bad that person is? No way. Come on. Him? Never. No way, Jose. It won't last. It's no good. Have you ever run into Christians like that? They get nervous around me. They get anxiety is what it's called, you know, because I refuse to let negative, backslidden people guide my life. I'm not saying I'm any better, but I'm just saying we have hinderers. Look at this thing here. Look at this in verse 6. His Bible says, and there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now these scribes were a bunch of, don't get me wrong, but they're just a bunch. I call them the periodic table of stupidity. They look religious. They act religious. They probably kept their little feelings journals. But they did everything for man. They didn't learn the law to get Jesus in their heart. They learned the law to walk around like a robot. They thought the more you kept the law, the more spiritual you become. And they judged everybody from their view. I'll tell you what. Jesus exposed them, did He not? And they said, who can forgive? They didn't say it out loud, but they're thinking, who do you think you are to save that guy? God, no one can do this but God. Hey, dummies, you're dealing with God.
That's right.
Those four boys upstairs knew it.
Yeah.
Could you see when Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven you? I can see this coming across that hole. Huh? Can you see it? You see the shadows coming across. Maybe you heard this on the roof. Hey, man! Wow! This is great! Fantastic! Oh, man, this is great! Rest of us, wonder how long this will last. You're wasting money giving it to those missionaries. You're wasting money running those bus routes. You're wasting money taking those kids to youth camp. You're wasting money investing in those teenagers. You're wasting money investing in those nursing homes. I'll tell you what. When you stop investing in what God wants you to do, it shows that you don't have the faith that God wants you to have. He saved them because of their faith. And these hinderers and their little pious, they probably look pretty good. Look religious. They may even have a King James Bible on the lap. I don't know. I'm just saying they didn't. Okay. Don't go out there and say I said that. I see them looking real pious. And Jesus knew it. And He's going to take care of business right there. Amen? Now watch this. Look at verse 7. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? And immediately, verse 8, when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said to them, why reason ye these things? Why do you want to hinder? Why do you want to hold back?
Amen.
Amen? How many in here have an unsaved loved one in Cairns, Australia that you'd want me to go witness to? If you did, I'd had four or five families across the U.S. call me, email me, I've got this unsaved relative, will you go after him? And I did. One out of the four got saved. Amen? Wonder if you had somebody in your family that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. And you have an opportunity to take them to the gospel. And God works on your heart and convicts you to do that. This mission field is not just in Panama, Romania, Mexico, or Australia. It's here.
Amen.
Don't be a hinderer.
Right.
Be a helper.
Amen.
Because God, He knows what you're thinking.
Right.
Can I go to the healer real quick?
Yeah.
And he's the main actor of this thing. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. The Bible says, and he, Christ, entered to Capernaum. And it was noise that he was in the house. You look with me, not only verse 1, but look at verse 5. The Bible says, and when Jesus saw their faith. Man, he's all through this. And he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And look at verse 11. He said, I can see him talking to that boy laying on the bed. I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy own house. And that's when the jaws dropped on the scribes. And that's when the boys upstairs were watching. And that's when that little boy, I had duct tape in my message, you see. I can see him ripping that duct tape off. Maybe ropes. Maybe they had him tucked in, tied in. I can see him getting out of those blankets. I can see him folding that stuff up. I can see him using those legs and that back for the first time. I can see him throwing that bed up and looking, walking out. Hey, what do you think of that, Jack? Huh? And as he's going out of that house, he's walking there, he's carrying that bed, using those legs for the first time, the tongue's getting ready to work, he can hear, he can speak, he can feel. I see four bodies jump off top of that house. And that little guy's just walking out in the street, about that time, if he's watching from here, they just knock him down. Boom! They're rolling and hugging and jumping around like crazy. I saw a football score this morning where a guy was falling backwards, threw it to his teammate. Teammate run it in and the clock had run out and they won the game. They ran around that stadium like they was going nuts. And I can see those guys out on that street and that little boy got saved and got his legs on him, walked out there. I guarantee you they didn't go up there, oh, this is so cool. They went past high-fiving. That's what I think. And I think God blesses that. And I'm telling you that when the healer, Jesus said this, He said, I am the light of the world. And I've come to light up the darkness, amen. And it says, I am the, you are the salt of the world. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm telling you what, He is the one in charge of this whole message here. And in the drama of the gospel, in the drama of, I call one of the first acts of missions that Peter has marked right for us to see, it ought to speak to us. Don't you ever be the hinderer.
Right.
And you get over here, look at verse 12. You come to be the happy.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible says that we never saw it on this fashion. You look at verse 12 real close. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I bet they hugged and they enjoyed each other and they praised God. And I tell you what, they had a good service there, didn't they? What's the message Jesus is getting across to us? He wants us to go to the helpless. Bring them to the healer. He wants us to be the helpers. He doesn't want us to hinder it at all. And then at the end of the thing, we're all going to be happy.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Close your Bibles. I've been in ministry 41 years this year, preacher. And when we went to New Guinea the first time back in 1995, you all supported us. My wife and I and my two boys were there. And we didn't have running water where we were staying. We had running water, but not where we were staying. We had to go across the street. And we cycled our clothes. And we hadn't had enough money yet to buy a washer. How many ever cycled their clothes on the mission field? You didn't wash them, you hung them up, you know, or try to get them to dry. If you've lived in the desert, you know what I'm saying. And our stuff was starting to stand up in the corner. And we located a laundromat in Port Moresby. They did not take quarters. They took old plugs from electrical boxes. And you'd give the lady $5 and she'd give you four or five plugs. And they just threw it in that thing and they hit the switch. So my wife had four or five loads of laundry. Now, she's blonde-headed. She's oblivious to danger, but I wasn't. I was a rascal and a thief infected area, kind of like downtown Chicago, you know what I mean? And I had an old hickory butcher knife I put in my back pocket. Couldn't have a gun, but I had like an 8-incher back there. And I put my back up against the wall. My wife's doing the laundry, and I'm watching for the bad guys that are coming in, and this little girl come in with her mama. And the little girl looked at me and said, are you an American? And I learned her language. I've been there 2 weeks, right? I said, Adaba Namona. That means good morning. She said, Adaba Namona. I said, Namo. That means how you doing. She said, Milau Namo. We're doing okay. And I said, I'm a dumb American. I can't speak any more of your language. She says, I speak perfect English. Let's go to English. So we spoke. And they did their laundry. I did mine, or my wife that I watched, okay? And I said, I'll take you home. I'm going to witness to them. And I took them home, invited her to come to church. Her name was Noi Noi. Now keep that name, Noi Noi. And her mom, her grandfather was the head man of a village called Baruni, about 5,000 people. He was the mayor. A head man means you're the head of the clan. And I asked him, could they come to church with me the next week? And he said they could. He said, I don't come, but they can come. As I went to turn away from him, I saw under his house, he had 12 pews and a little pulpit. Are you a religious man? He said, no. The Catholics tried to move in the village a year ago, and I told them no. And they came anyway, and we had a fight. We ran them off, and we kept this stuff as trophies. You want them. I said, we can use them. We can use them. Noi Noi came with her mom the next day. My wife and I would go visiting Baruni for the next 4 years, every Saturday to 2 to 3 hours. We'd take a van load of people with us. We'd go on visitation just like you would do here. And this head man, this village guy, this mayor, never came to our church one time. But we'd get 2 or 3 van loads coming. He never came. But every Saturday, my wife would take him a fourth grade level Sunday school lesson class, and he would fill in the blanks. He could not speak English, Noi Noi translated. And over a 4-year period, he did not miss a word. But he never got saved. Cancer got a hold of him. About 1999, he's going to die. He calls for the missionary to come. Bring your wife and some ladies to translate. So I went over there to the village, and I got down there, bottom of his house, had steps going up in there, and I'm going to witness to him, get him saved. Amen. And I went to go up the steps, and he said, no, you stay back, Pastor Dan. I don't want you in the house. I want your wife. And those ladies at translate say, what? And I had to stay downstairs. I mean, he's the head man. He had bodyguards. I just had to stand there. Half hour later, my wife begins to cry. The ladies begin to cry. You can hear them translate. And that old boy got saved.
Amen.
My wife come downstairs. Beat ya. She's been crying. Them ladies come down, Ray Yang and the other lady, Lola, they did the translating. They go, oh man, you won't believe this. He got saved, preacher. He really got saved. Hey, that's good. Get in the van, let's go, you know. He come down and he said, thank you, Pastor, and translated, you know. I said, no, I asked your grandfather why he did not want me to lead him to Christ. And she went yada yada to him and he went yada back. He said that you'd not been telling him about Christ for the last 4 years, your wife had been. Letting down the ropes. We're not done yet. Noi Noi is now in charge about 100,000 acres in that area. Noi Noi gave Matt Allen 100 acres. Asked me if she could do that for the Lord. Amen. Church has started there now. God's opened up the Bible Project. Guess who her uncle is that is a secretary for education for the whole country of Papua New Guinea? Noi Noi's uncle. Guess who's been pushing him? Listen to that little bull-headed preacher. He said he can get you Bibles. He'll bring his Bibles. Let him have everything he wants. Because I think God's all over him. Thank you, Sandy, for letting that rope down. Thank you, Faith Baptist Bourbon. They helped us get that rope down. Thank you for helping us to the field. You just think it's prayer cards and prayer letters. When you see what's behind all those stories, God has a drama going on. Amen? Well, what are you going to be? Helpless? Helper, hinderer, can't play the healer. He's got that one already covered. We'll all be happy when we listen, obey, respond, and do what God puts in our hearts to do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know your hearts this morning. I know Pastor Angel, his heart is that you would come to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Who can say, Brother Pastor Angel, Brother DeLong, I do know Christ as my personal Savior. I know Him. I have trusted Him. I have been saved. Could you raise your hand as a testimony? Thank you. You can put your hands down. You know, if you cannot raise your hand this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you'd like to know Him in your heart, He can wash away every sin that you have. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to give the invitation to Pastor Angel in just a moment. He's not going to embarrass you. But who can say, preacher, pray for me. I am as helpless as that little girl in that incubator in Michigan City. I'm as helpless as that boy coming down through that roof. I am without Jesus. I need to trust Christ as my personal Savior. Would you pray for me that I could do that? I would do that. Could you raise your hand? Would you pray for me? Anyone at all? Who can say with me, Pastor Angel, Brother DeLong, I have unsaved loved ones in my family, in my life, in my workplace, in my neighborhood. I can call their name now if I would be asked. I need to be one of the ones letting them through the roof to Jesus. I need to be a helper. God has brought their name to my heart this morning. I need to help. I need to point them. I need to bring them to Jesus and let them sit underneath the gospel. Do you have somebody like that in your life? Could you raise your hand with me as a testimony? You need to give that to the Lord. You need to be that one on that rope. You need to be the one on that roof. You need to be the one that brings them. And Jesus will do the saving. Who can say, Brother DeLong, God spoke to my heart this morning about this message. And I want to be a helper. I do not want to be a hinderer in any way. But I want to be a helper in the ministry of this church, through the ministries of this church, for the cause of Christ, whether it be in missions, soul winning, bus ministry, youth ministry, school ministry. God has spoken to my heart this morning to be like one of these men in this drama. Names are never given, but Jesus saved that young man because of their faith. Who could say, I need to have that faith. I need to have that strength. Pray for me that I become involved and committed here in the works and the ministry of this church. Pastor Angel.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask one more time what Brother DeLong asked just a moment ago. Is there anybody here, member, visitor, front to back, side to side, downstairs, upstairs, you say, I do not know if I died right now that I would go to heaven. I don't know that. In my heart, I have no assurance of it. Is that you this morning? Is there anybody like that? Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Anybody like that? It's front to back, side to side, member, visitor, doesn't matter. All right, if you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized, You came to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. You come when the music begins. You raised your hand. You got a co-worker, a relative, a friend, a neighbor. You wanted to be that helper. As the Lord spoke into your heart this morning, you heard what the acronym, LORD, listen, obey, respond, and do. All right? That's a good acronym for letting Jesus be Lord of your life. Let's start it this morning. And church member, are you praying? Have you given yourself to God again this year for the cause of missions? That being a helper to put down the rope so that these families can go and help bring people to Christ. Would you please give your thought, your heart, your prayer to it, your mind to it these days? Father, thank you for the message. Help us this morning to do what's right in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song of invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, many hands went up. Now's the time for you to come. If you're not sure you're saved, would you please step out now while the music is playing? We have men that can take a Bible. We have ladies that can take a Bible and show you how to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Be born into God's family. Be forgiven of sin. Heaven's your home. You can leave that way today. You need to be baptized. Now's the time to come and obey the Lord in that fashion. While we wait, no one is looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to pray just for a few minutes, ushers, if you'll prepare.